It might sound like the Jetsons or Star Trek, but the looming reality of driverless cars and artificial intelligence is set to change our lives more than we think. The former US Transportation Secretary, Rodney Slater, is working with companies in America to prepare for the revolution, and he says Australia could have a head start, given that driverless vehicles are already being used in the resources industry. But he also worries, in the wake of the Las Vegas shootings, that artificial intelligence used in drones could become armed technology. Rodney Slater spoke in Sydney with the ABC's senior business correspondent Peter Ryan.
I think that this issue is one of the biggest and most important issues of our time because all of us appreciate our mobility. In many cases, we actually compare it to freedom. It's the ability to get to a job or to get to some of the beauties and wonders that we hold dear, to see family and that sort of thing. And anything that would either enhance or potentially disrupt that thing that we take for granted, we become concerned about it.
So looking out 10, 20, 30 years, what are those sort of disruptions that you think are going to be disrupting our lives?
Well, first of all, I think that many of us have had the experience of maybe watching the Jetsons or watching Star Trek, and we see how transportation plays a central role in both of these shows and experiences. And in the future, transportation can play that kind of role for us as well. Imagine being able to get into a vehicle that you just need to tell where you want to go and it takes you there automatically. Or imagine yet still your elderly parents who may have had to give up the ability to drive having that opportunity. Or someone who is a family member who has a disability and can't drive, now for the first time having the benefit of that and being able to enjoy it in a way that is independent to them, meaning they don't have to have someone else providing the assistance to enjoy this good. That's really the magic of this expansion of transportation and mobility that automation provides.
You mentioned the Jetsons and everything seems to work very smoothly, but for example, how will self-driving cars relate to traditional cars that would perhaps still have real people driving?
I understand. And you know, we've had those experiences before. At the sort of advent of the automobile, there was a period where it literally shared the pathway, the roadway, with horses, horse-drawn carriages. And it was viewed in many respects as a horseless carriage. And so we will have those experiences where you'll have automated vehicles that will have to be able to share the road with traditional vehicles. And we'll transition through that. But I think we'll get to a point where, at least in certain parts of certain city areas, you're more likely to have set routes for all vehicles that will allow for greater automation.
Would consideration have to be given to making people sit new driving exams, get different driving licenses, so they'd have to be able to check the box on dealing with a car that's being driven by an algorithm?
Yes. Well, it's interesting you say that because I remember maybe a year or so, maybe 2 years ago, I happened to come to Australia and had the experience of being in the front seat of a vehicle with a driver where the steering wheel is actually on the right rather than the left. And I remember myself going through the sensation of just not having the ability to put my hands on the steering wheel, not having the ability to use my own feet to maybe move from the brake to the accelerator. And it really dawned on me in that moment, this is the sensation of being in an autonomous vehicle, where you're not in control of the steering wheel or the braking or acceleration levers, but the vehicle is moving nonetheless. And it's moving because technically there is a driver. It's a driver that is programmed. So a human being has been involved in the experience, so it's not technically driverless. It may not be a human driver, though, that's doing the work. And that does create issues of trust and concern, and naturally so among humans, as to how that works
You're a former US Transport Secretary, so you'd understand the sort of thinking or the work that would already be underway at the moment in the United States to deal with managing autonomous vehicles.
20 years ago, almost to the day, I was actually in Southern California, in San Diego, where we unveiled the first experience that we had as a country with what we call then intelligent transportation systems. It was a roadway. It was I-15 in San Diego, a short distance, a few miles, but it had been enhanced through the embedding of sensors in the roadway so that the roadway was able then to communicate with the driver and the vehicle. Then most of the emphasis was on the roadway itself, whereas now, over 20 years, the focus has become more on, quote, satellites, GPS, and the vehicles actually communicating one with another. So we're going to probably see some additional changes as we move to the full implementation of this technology, but a lot has changed over the last 20 years.
Former US Transportation Secretary Rodney Slater speaking in Sydney with the ABC's senior business correspondent Peter Ryan.